Yeah, we're having.
Some more drag in. All right. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good today. Hope everybody's had a good afternoon. It's good to be back in the Lord's house as always. I know it's going to be a busy week for most, but it's good to be able to spend a little time in the Word of God this evening. Again, do remember this week we won't have Wednesday night. We have Tuesday night service. So I hope you'll bring a crock pot of soup and some dessert and a drink, and we'll be good to go. 7 o'clock, so hope you'll be here. Invite somebody to come with you. Right after service tonight, if we get some fellas to help set up some tables, that'd be a big help. So get that ready for Wednesday night or Tuesday night. That'd be a great help there. And then don't forget next Sunday, they'll be have a shower for Carrie and the chocolate chip. And people say, why do you say that? Because that's what they said when she found out she was pregnant. It's chocolate chip. We've been asking her what the name's going to be, and they won't tell us, so. We call it chocolate chip. So December 17th is the senior banquet. December 3rd is the men's breakfast. There's sign-up sheets back there in the back, so I hope you'll get signed up for those. I hope you'll be here. And don't forget this coming Friday will be the service for Brother Sam Mathis. It'll be 11 to 12:30 will be viewing, and then service will be at 12:45. So I hope you can come by and be a help there. So if you can help with food, please see my wife. She'll be trying to get a meal together for the family. So if you can help her, that'd be great. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, love you. Thank you again for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity one more time, God, just to be here together. Lord, just to get around the Word of God this evening. Lord, just looking for you to speak to our hearts, Lord, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it all. Of course, in your precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. Bill, I'm going to use this tonight. Sorry. All right, let's all stand up. Turn to number 78.
Whoa, there we go. Good volume. Number 78. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And we'll sing all the way through, all four verses. Here we go. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
All right, last verse.
I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.
All right, if you will, be making your way back to your seat. And, go ahead and be seated. Appreciate the good choir songs this evening. It is an amazing grace, what God's done. So I appreciate the good songs. Again, do be praying for our church and our church family. A lot of sicknesses and different things, so do pray one for another. And, of course, do pray for our country. Pray for the lost. Pray for laborers for the field. The fields are white unto harvest. Laborers are few. Just pray God would send some laborers. So just be praying that way as well. Do pray for Brother Poplin. He'll be having surgery Tuesday. So do pray for him. Remember Curtis back there. He's hopefully getting to come back this way. Had a really bad aneurysm, but they was able to help him there. So remember that. Miss Brenda, of course, Miss Canup, her Miss Linda side, she's really having a hard go. So just pray for Jim there as well. So, all right, I think Brother Russell's going to sing for us.
I told Wendy, I said, I'm stepping out on faith here. I just feel like I've beat everybody to death, all the singers. So I said, well, I might as well try. Just pray for me. That choir kind of wears me out a little bit on the voice. I've always liked this song. It's a hard one for me to sing because I'm a worrier from a long line of worriers. My grandmother was, my dad is, and I am. So this one's a kind of hard for me to sing. It's kind of one of those that kind of speaks to me. But just pray for me. I hope it's a blessing. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Amen. Hey, beautiful. beautiful song. Appreciate that, Brother Russell. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. I know we're studying through the book of Hebrews, but the Lord just really started working this message on my heart. Hebrews chapter 12. We've been having a terrible time. Speaking of, there goes, oh, I thought she's a nursery. Okay. We've been having a terrible time at the house with some calves that just decides that they don't want to stay inside the fence. It's just been a constant royal pain here lately, but I think we've got that fixed. And I think that might have been some of the Lord working that through my mind of what we see here. Because, you know, I preached a message one time, it's been a long time ago. I don't know if it was here. I don't think it was here. But God's guardrails. You know, we're going down this here road, and I'm thankful for some guardrails. And God has put up along the way to keep me from falling off the road from time to time. So that fence is it's an electric fence, three strands, high tensile. And calves just walked through it like it was nothing. I mean, I sat there, and I was just, what's wrong with it? I think I wanted to go out there and catch it and see if it had rubber hooves. So, you know, like, why in the world are you not getting shocked? And, you know, that fence is, we fixed it, or I fixed it Saturday. Was that right, Saturday when y'all were gone? Friday, I think it's Friday. And Saturday morning, I was sitting in the house drinking my coffee, and I looked out there, and I watched this one little calf. It wanted to go under that fence. He'd walk up there and put his little nose on there, and all of a sudden he'd shock it and he'd run like a scared deer. I thought, well, I guess I fixed that, huh? And our lives are a little bit like that. There ought to be something in us that keeps us from getting out of God's fence. And I want to look at that just a little bit this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, if you will, let's stand together if you can. Out of honor and reverence to the Word of God, we're going to read but one verse, but we'll read it and pray and let you be seated. Hebrews chapter 12, and again, we are studying through the book of Hebrews, and we'll get over here in our study. This night isn't really the study part, it's just a thought that the Lord laid on our heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. I pray, God, just for the next little bit, God, would you speak to our hearts. God, help it to be real unto us tonight. God, let us see, let us understand. God, help us, Lord, to leave this place, God, with more knowledge about the truth of the Bible, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated this evening. And I know you've probably heard that verse. Again, it's coming off of chapter 11. Of course, the great chapter, the Hall of Faith there, where God talks about by faith, by faith, by faith. And it says, because of that, in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about such a great cloud of witness, it tells us to do a couple of things. Why? Because we're running a race. Now, we're not preaching on that running that race, but it is a great picture of where we need to see the illustration of. Again, it says there in the latter part there of chapter 1, it says to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I was doing some studying on that thought of racing, and especially here in biblical times. And again, even today, there's all kinds of racing. There's automobile racing, there's motorbike racing, there's running racing. There's all kinds of racing. And here they're speaking of literal physical running, of course. And it was talking about even in those days, it said they would strip themselves down to basically wearing nothing because they didn't want anything to slow them down. And when I got to reading that, I thought about a guy I used to work with. He was a weird individual. He was a weird individual. But anybody ever, this comes to mind, but think about it, anybody ever eat a Scottish egg? That was the nastiest thing I ever seen in my life. Anybody know what a Scottish egg is? He opened that container and I about got sick, but if I remember right, you boil an egg, and then you put sausage around it and fry it. So you got a boiled egg inside a fried sausage. That don't sound too bad, but it smelled horrible. But this guy was a racer, and he lived over down by Concord, almost by the mill down there. And he would ride his bicycle to work from there to Freightliner. And he raced bicycles. He did. And one day he come in there talking, and he says, "I shaved my legs." I was like, "Why? Why would you shave your legs?" He says that I can gain a little speed. I thought, there's no way under the sun that I would shave my legs so I could gain a thousandth of a thousandth of a thousandth of a second. He says, "Yeah, all the racers, they shave their legs, so there's no resistance from the hair on your legs." I thought, ain't no way. But if he would do that, and I wouldn't do that, but if he would do that to ride a bicycle, what would I do to be better at the race that God has put me in? There's things, and God gives us two things here tonight about running that race. And the first thing there, it talks about in verse number 12, verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight. So, you know, again, if you're going to run a race, this isn't the message, but if you're going to run a race, you're not going to carry a backpack full of bricks on your back. You know, if you're really wanting to run and win this thing, you're going to try to be as light as you can be to run. You don't want anything that's going to bog you down. So God tells us, even in our race, spiritually, that there are some things that weight us. There's things that we try to carry around. There's things that we try to hold on to that keeps us from running the race that God wants us to run in the fashion that God wants us to run. So the first thing it talks about is getting rid of the weight. And then the second thing it says there, notice again, verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight." And then it says, "And the sin which does so easily beset us." And that's really where I want to drive into tonight. I want to look at that thought. Again, it's really not the sin part that I want to talk about. Again, God says to lay all that weight aside. And then it talks about we need to get rid of that sin. And again, it says there, look at it again. It says, "Let us lay away every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Now, sin. Everybody knows, I'm going to say tonight, if I ask you what sin was, you would probably, everybody, give me a different answer. Sin isn't a particular thing. You know, well, drinking's a sin, or this is a sin, or that's a sin. Sin is sin. We don't need to departmentalize it, however that word goes. Yeah, what she said. Departmentalize. Yeah, we don't need to put it in little buckets. Sin is sin. And there are no big sins and little sin. Sin is sin. So don't get into the habit of saying, well, it's a little sin, because it's still sin. What do you mean? Look with me a couple places. Look over in 1 John. First John this evening. Look in chapter 2. When it comes to sin, God categorizes it into this fashion. There are three areas of sin in your life. Again, it doesn't matter which one of these you are, but it's still sin. But there's three avenues of sin. Look here in chapter 2. Look down at verse number 6. For all that is in the world, notice, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three avenues of sin. You've got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the last one there, the pride of life. Those three areas is where sin drives from. Now, look over. Find it right quick. Look over in the book of James. Chapter 4, Look in verse number 17. Here is what sin is. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Anything that goes against God is sin. So again, when we go back over here to the book of Hebrews, again he tells us to lay away those weights. We don't want to run with weights. But then he says also we need to get rid of these begetting sins. That word begetting means entanglement. And again, you're running a race. And you don't want anything. I mentioned this morning about my daughter. Her name is Grace, because she can trip over air. And she really can, as I said this morning, and I'm not making fun of her. She just was that way when she was little. I'm sure a lot of kids are that way. But, man, she'd fall down all the time. Her legs were bruised all the time because she was always falling down. She would trip over nothing. Sin, this evening, as God talks about it, that besetting sin is an entanglement. And if you're running a race, you don't want to get entangled with anything. You want to be able to run freely. You want to be able to run without something pulling or knocking you down. So he tells us we need to get rid of those weights. We need to get rid of those besetting sins. But what I want to look on tonight is not so much that word besetting or not so much that word weight. But the thing that I really want to, that God really brought to my heart this evening is this question. Look again there in Hebrews. I lost my place. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth, and here's what I really want to look at tonight. So easily besets us. And this is my question. Why is sin so easy? You would think living for God would be easy. Wouldn't you think that? But it's not, is it? But God tells us here in this verse that it's easy to sin. And it really is easy to sin. We can probably all testify how easy it is to sin. It takes nothing to sin. And I want to take that thought tonight and think about it just for a moment. Is why is it so easy to sin? And I think the first thing that we need to realize tonight, and this is a great truth, one of the biggest troubles that we have in running our race is we don't acknowledge sin. We sin, and I'm not saying acknowledgement as far as asking God for forgiveness. We live like, well, let me just back up a minute. Don't take this in the wrong way, but we're all hypocrites. Well, that's not very nice, is it? Because I'm afraid we take off the impression or we shine off the impression to others that we're so perfect. Well, you go to church 3 times a week, but I'm still a sinner. I read my Bible daily, but I'm still a sinner. We must realize, and God tells us right here, that we have sin in our lives. Just because you're saved tonight, just because you're going to heaven when you die, that doesn't end our fight with sin. We're running a race, and sin is part of that race. And we need to understand that we are going to have to deal with that sin. The thing is not so much, again, should we want to sin? No. It shouldn't be in our desire to want to go and sin. It should be something that we constantly try our best to stay out of sin. But you know as good as I do, it doesn't take anything. A song pops in your head. A something flashes in your eye. Remember that? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All those things attack us every day, all the time. So one of the first things about this, why is sin so easy? Because we're sinners. We need to understand. We that's what makes people have such a hard time is when they do sin, they think they're the only ones. I have seen people fall into what most people would say is big sin. Well, that big sin is no different than what you call a little sin. Because sin is sin. But they'll let that sin that this overwhelms them, they'll let that sin draw them away from God. And before you know it, they're out of church, away from God. And then we ought to be the opposite of that. We ought to run to God. We ought to want to be around God. Why? Because He's our help. And our hope. So the very first thing that I think we need to understand about why sin is so easy is because we're sinners. This old flesh is made up of that sin nature. You're going to battle sin every day of your life until Jesus comes. Amen? Every day you're going to have to constantly protect your eyes, constantly protect your ear, constantly protect your thinking, constantly protect your tabernacle from sin. But when sin does come into our lives, we need to do something about it. I don't know what a good example of this is, but this is the one that comes to my mind all the time, or right now. When you think about entangling something, you ever trying to undo some string or something? It just seems like the more you do, the more you get wrapped up in the stupid thing. Yeah. Christmas lights. Bah humbug. Christmas lights probably a good one. I'll confess my sins to y'all tonight. It's been a long time ago, though. You ever played a trick on people? We probably all have. When I worked at Freightliner, we had a little room down there that all the technicians, that was our sort of our room. And I don't know. They had some type of high temp grease. I've never seen any grease like this, but that stuff was like chewing gum. I mean, it was just that tacky. And you had to watch those guys because they would take that grease and put it right up under the edge of the door handle. Hey, this poor boy come in there one night on third shift. I didn't put the grease on there, but somebody put grease on there. And that poor boy come in, he didn't realize he had that stuff on him. The time he walked out the room, it was all over him. Because when he'd move his hands, it was just going everywhere, like chewing gum. I mean, it was stringing off of him. That's all I could do not to laugh. But that's sort of how this entanglement of sin happens in our lives. The more we move around in it, the more we stir it around, the more we deal with it, it just strings around and ties us up. And before you know it, you're going to trip and fall. So we need to realize tonight that we're sinners. It's not something to be proud of. Thank God by grace. Through the grace of God, His mercies, we're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's what I am this evening. But this body, I still have to fight sin. So why is sin so easy? First of all, because we're all sinners. The second thing about this sin that so easily besets us goes back to what I was mentioning about Carrie, about tripping over air. You don't trip over an elephant, do you? But what do you trip over? Some little things, don't they? Even things that's not even there. We've all scrubbed our toes across the floor and about fell on our face, probably. That's why sin's so easy, because it doesn't take but just a little. The Bible says over the book of Solomon, chapter 2, it talks about it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. As we go through life, as we go through this race that we're running, we got our eyes looking forward. We're running our race, and we need to get the weight off of us. We need to keep from being entangled in sin, this sin that so easily besets us. As you run down this race, you got to be careful, because you'll trip over nothing. It's those little sins. You know, I was talking about that calf and that fence. It wasn't the big cows that were getting out. It was them little calves. And I thought about sin. You know, I build my house the best. We all probably build our house the best we can to keep everything on the outside. I don't think I have to worry about one of those big cows getting in my house. I really don't. There's doors, there's windows, there's walls. That big cow will never get in my house. But I do get ladybugs and stink bugs, an occasional mouse or snake or ants or spiders. The best I could build my house to keep those things out there There's still little things that get in my house. Spiritually speaking, it's not the big things that's our problems. Our problems that sin is so easy because there's some little things that'll come into your life as you run this race. You're running this race. Pretty sure you're not going to run into the back end of an elephant. You'll see that one coming. But you might trip over a twig. You ever got a little pebble in your shoe? Take your shoe off. You think, there's something in my shoe. Take your shoe off and shake it. And I mean, it looks like a grain of sand. That little old grain of sand was causing you problems, wasn't it? It was discomfort. You couldn't walk because that thing was bothering you. Sin is so easy, first of all, because we're all sinners. Second of all, because of those small things. We allow little things. It's a proven fact your eye sees more than what you think it sees. And we're constantly bombarded through our eye gates. We're constantly bombarded through our ear gates. The lust of the eye, the lust of this flesh, this pride of man, those are the ways, the avenues that those little sins begin to creep in. Seems like when you get one stink bug, they go back and tell their friends, I found a way in, guys, follow me. You'll have 100 of them. Flies, my goodness. We live around pasture, so we have a lot of flies. Gnats. Those little things. But those little things to turn into big things. You know what the number one destroyer of homes are? Termites. You know when you find them?
Too late.
But those little critters are just working and working and working and working and working and working and working. Sin is so easy because sin comes into our lives so little, but causes such a drastic change in our lives. God tells us that we need to lay away those weights. Yep. I mean, that's an easy thought. You know, if I'm going to run this race, I'm going to take everything I can out of this bag. I ain't carrying this bag with all this weight in it. And then he says we need to watch out for those besetting sins that so easily, again, so easy. Why is sin so easy? Well, the Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin for a season, right? So not only is it small, not only are we sinners, but sin is pleasurable. How do you know? God tells us there's pleasure in sin. And why is sin so easy? Because our flesh is so weak. We like to pleasure our minds, our flesh, our being. We like pleasure to come into our lives, and sin is pleasurable. It's something, again, Brother Larry, I don't want to speak out, but Brother Larry's got a visit tomorrow to the dentist. That's not pleasurable. That's not stuff that you wake up in the morning and go, whoopee, I'm going to the dentist. They're going to hurt you and take money from you. That's not pleasurable. So everybody hates to go to the dentist. But that old movie on TV, sit down with a bag of tater chips and a drink and start watching that thing, and it's pleasurable. And before you know it, you're hearing things and seeing things that you shouldn't be hearing or seeing. Why? Because it's pleasurable. Look over in Isaiah chapter 47. Hebrews 11:25 talks about that sin. There's pleasure in sin. Look over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Look at verse number 8. Isaiah 47:8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else besides me. Well, that's the attitude of man, isn't it? It's me, it's me, it's me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you say. I am. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasure, thou that dwellest carelessly, thou that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else besides me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and the widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorrows or sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. You want that pleasure? You want that lifestyle? You want to be you and, you know, what's the old Burger King slogan?
Have it your way.
That's what he's talking about. And God says it's going to catch up with you. Look over in the book of Luke. Hold your finger there, not saying we'll be back in just a second. Luke chapter 12. Here we have a great example of sin and its pleasures. Here we have that great story about that guy that prospered. Let's start looking at verse number 17. Or let's back up 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what did he think of? In himself. Who was he thinking about? Himself. What did Isaiah say? I am. When you think I am. Because I have no room. As he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, notice, said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be thou hast provided? Pleasure. Why sin so easy? First of all, because we're sinners. Second of all, because it's small things. And then third of all, it's pleasurable. Look with me over in the book of Revelations real quickly. Couple more places and we'll move on to the next place. But I want to show you a couple more places. Look in Revelations chapter 18. Look at verse number 7. How much he hath glorified. This is chapter 18, verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Again, that's the attitude. That's what this flesh desires. That's how we want to be ourselves. Look one more place. Look back over to Isaiah. Chapter 20. Why sin so easy? We're sinners because of the small nature of it. And then last of all, look right here about pleasures. Look at verse number 4. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me.
That's where sin will get you. Sin will take you farther than you want to go because of its pleasure. You start giving your flesh that pleasure, it wants more, and it wants more, and it wants more. It's just like a drunk. A drunk started with one drink, and then that drink wasn't enough, so he drank two drinks. And two drinks wasn't enough, so he drank six drinks. And six became not enough, so he drank 12. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. That's what sin will do, because you begin to take that pleasure, and that one little piece of pleasure is not enough anymore, so you need more of it, and then you need more of it, and then you need more of it. And before you know, you're a long ways from where you started. Why? Again, Hebrews chapter 12. We'll close out here. Hebrews chapter 12. We're running a race. And God tells us that we need to lay away those weights. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth again so easily beset us. Easy. It takes nothing to entangle you. It takes nothing to trip you. It's just so easy. So why is sin easy? We're sinners. It's small. It's pleasurable. But you want the answer to how to solve the problem? You want to how not to get entangled or tripped up by these easy sins? Now, again, it doesn't take away the sin. Sin's going to be constantly bombarding you. It will keep you from getting entangled. Look at verse number 2. We're running this race. We're going to get rid of the weights. We're going to get rid of all this easy sin. And then verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That's how we need to run our race. We need to get our eyes off of our flesh. We need to get our eyes off of this world. We need to get our eyes off of our own selves. And we need to look to Jesus. If we'll look to Jesus, we won't have to worry about the weight. If we'll look to Jesus, we won't have to worry about those little foxes that'll run around and trip us up. If we'll look to Jesus, we won't be pleasured in this sin anymore. We'll have pleasure with Christ and the things of God. So we need to look to Jesus. How do you look to Jesus? You look through Him in His Word. You look through Him through prayer. You look through Him just serving Him. Look to Christ. That's how we run this race without falling down. Again, it's so easy to sin, though. Why is it so easy? That's what God really just drove in my heart. He says, that sin that so easily. We need to do all we can do. What do you do when you find a place, a mouse that's coming in your house? You fix it, don't you? I hope you fix it. Because if you don't fix it, you're going to have more than one in your house. We need to figure out where we're getting some little foxes in our lives. We need to be careful and not feed the flesh. We need to feed the Spirit. Because sin is easy. It takes nothing. And you'll be off in the ditch. And you won't be running the race. Amen. All right, let's stand together this evening. I want to run this race with patience, the Bible says. I don't want to fall down. I don't want to quit. But I sure need to get rid of all that weight that keeps me from running. I need to get rid of anything that entangles me, because sin is so easily entangling. You get a little on you, before you know it, it'll be all over you. Tonight, I don't know where you're at, what you're facing, what you're going through, but tonight, are you running your race with patience? Tonight, are you allowing those little things to creep into your lives, and before you know it, it's going to get you? Oh, it didn't come riding in on an elephant. It didn't come running there like a lion. It come in little that little cockroach turns into a bunch of cockroaches. That little termite turns into a bunch of termites, and before you know it, they've eaten your house. Brother Russell's going to sing more verse of this song tonight. If nobody comes, we'll shut her down. So easy.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and I'm abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look it unto Jesus. The author, finisher, our
faith. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
So the next time you trip, just think about what we said tonight. You'll look around and say, what in the world did I trip over? There'll be nothing there. But you tripped. That's sin. That is sin. That's how sin does it. So don't forget Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Soup Social. My wife is heading right over there now. That's you. You're my wife. And you're heading over there now. Because I know if I don't do this, you'll not get over there. Now don't trip. Everybody's watching you. She made it, didn't she? I hear the door opening. I didn't hear a thunk. All right. If you can help set up tables tonight, there's not a big bunch of us here tonight, but if you can help, it'd be a great help to us. So we're going to set up tables here in just a moment. Shouldn't take a whole lot of time. And don't forget Tuesday night. Hope you have a great week. I really do. Hope you. I was trying to preach this morning. I hope you really are thankful. Jeremiah said, I brought these things back to my remembrance. God is so merciful. He's so loving. He is so full of comfort. Be thankful. Don't forget, it's an opportunity to be a witness this week, too. If you're going to be around family, probably you're like my family. There's going to be some there that don't know anything about God. It's hard to believe, but they are. Let's just shine for Jesus. So, one of the best places. Because a lot of times, even the lost people say, well, we need to pray. And they ask you to pray. Pray salvation in there. Thank God for the cross. You can preach the gospel real quick in a prayer. And so just take every opportunity. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And fellas, if you can help set up tables, we sure would appreciate it. Father, we love you. Thank you. Praise you for being so good to us, Lord. We are thankful tonight. Thankful, Lord, that we have salvation. Thankful, Lord, that we have the Spirit of God, Lord, that dwells in us and God leads us and guides us. Thankful, Lord, tonight that we have a home in heaven. Thankful, tonight we have the Word of God. Lord, that we could read and study. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'd help us to run our race with patience, God, for your honor and your glory, looking unto you. And we'll thank you for all you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.